B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. On a Monday, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, and a lot to talk about. A lot happened over the weekend. The Sixers lose to Atlanta. I know everybody's freaked. That's the way we are. How could you win all those games in a row, and you beat all those big teams, and then you lay an egg against Atlanta? Well, I didn't like it either, but it happens. And, you know, a team that's riding high, and they go to Atlanta, they go, we can beat this team. And they don't come with the edge. You know, the team plays it like it's the NBA championship, and Trae Young goes off, and something like that happens. All right? So I wouldn't fret about it. I wouldn't worry about it. They still get the third seed locked up. They're probably going to lose a couple games more as we get to the end of the year. They're not going to win every game and go into the playoffs with this blaze of glory. So I have chosen to not even react to it. All right? Not reactive, because I'm in a decent mood today. I'm not going to react to silly things. Now, one of the other silly things is the Tom Izzo thing. Now, Tom Izzo is an old school coach. I know we're in a politically correct world. Short of you grabbing a guy physically and throwing him, which you should never do, you should be entitled to discipline one of your athletes by yelling at him. Now, going at him was probably one of these moves where he didn't really mean to grab the kid, but he just wanted to make a point and go after him, and he didn't apologize for it. So we'll discuss that, because there are a lot of people I've heard today that think that's really wrong what Tom Izzo did in the tournament. You have to consider that these coaches are every bit as competitive as these players. In fact, more so, because their job depends on winning. They are into it emotionally like everybody else. And sometimes they lose track of the moment and they get so infuriated with one of their guys making a mistake after that guy's been taught not to make that mistake for an entire year and for practice after practice that when it happens, they go off. So I'm not going to blame Tom Izzo, even though I'm not that big of a fan of Tom Izzo. I'll be honest with you. Everybody loves the ground he walks on. I don't, but I'm not going to fault him for that. What else happened? The NCAA tournament. Now, and this is an interesting point. I have been on record before as saying I don't want the lesser teams to upset the better teams. Because I think in the end, I want to see the best product. Duke still being in the tournament is the best product. But yesterday, I found myself rooting against Duke. I really did. At the end of that game, I'm saying, you know what? Screw it. I know the tournament is better with Duke in it. I know it's more interesting to watch Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett and all these guys and Krzyzewski and the glamour of that whole thing. But I was rooting for that team to pull off that upset, and God prevented that upset. I'm convinced that God prevented UCF from winning that game. How in the world, first of all, The moves Zion Williamson makes for the go-ahead buck and he missed the free throw, and then they got the rebound and put it back up, was an offensive foul that they didn't call, right? So no official is going to have the courage to make that call against Duke at that time of the day. But then you got Taco Fall, who, by the way, can't play, all right? And I know all this fanfare, all this fuss being talked about Taco Fall, oh, he was mountain of a man, 7'6". He stinks. Right? So he has a decision to make there. Either you stay away from the guy, you're up three, and you let him score, or you clock his ass so he doesn't get any shot off at all, and you take the hit, you get fouled out of the game, and he didn't either. Which shows me he has no basketball instincts whatsoever. right? He's like Boban Marjanovic. Cannot play, but looks so physically imposing that you think they can help your team. So there you go. There's three things that happened this weekend that I was totally into. I'm totally into the NCAA tournament. I have reduced the amount in the Alina's pool to the final 16. I have 13 of my 16 still in my bracket, which is okay. The one I guess I believed in, I had Florida advancing, and they went down hard. So the higher seeds advance, and that's for a reason. They're better. All right? Now tell me the truth. You don't want to see these underdog teams advance to the Elite Eight or even the Final Four, do you? Because you're really diluting the efficiency and the grandeur of the tournament by having these teams win in a one-game scenario. Are you with me there, Tyrone?
Completely. Nothing makes me happier than when it's chalk. Because I don't like to watch fraudulent basketball going forward. It's cute for like an hour.
It's cute for the first round.
For me, not
the
even.
The second round, maybe.
To me, the second round is already. First round, if you want to have your cute little, you want to have your little Woffords, fine.
Right.
Nothing made me happier about that kid going 0 for 12. No one in the country was happier than me that kid goes 0 for 12 and they lose to Kentucky, because Kentucky's a real basketball team. I don't like watching those fraudulent teams. I don't.
That kid just panicked and threw up all kinds of shots. It was a shame. I felt bad for that kid.
I was pleased.
You were pleased that he went 0 for 12?
For a couple
of
reasons.
He rushed everything. Supreme athletes make it really difficult for you to be as efficient as a three-point shooter, because he's getting open three-point shots all year because of the conference he's playing in. But against a team like Kentucky, he's not going to get those.
Yeah, what it did is, for me, it helped him for his life long term. There would be people probably calling us today had they won that second game. You think the Sixers should take him in the second round pick? He can help him. He's a shooter.
Right.
Now everyone in the world got to see he's a great college player. He has a record.
Yeah.
He can go on and do great things in life. But professional basketball is not his thing. And we all got that out of the way. And I think that was a positive for it, sis. But I don't like the upsets at all. I don't enjoy them.
In the case of, like, I wanted Liberty to beat Virginia Tech, because who the hell's Virginia Tech?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right? Like, I don't care about that. And in a way, I wanted Belmont to beat LSU, because who's LSU? But I didn't want UCF to beat Duke, even though I was rooting for him to beat Duke. I was in a really weird state there, because it was so exciting in the end. I'm thinking, can they pull this off? And Johnny Dawkins, the storylines of Johnny Dawkins and his kid hanging out at Cameron and then beating the mentor. Like, those little things had a little subplot to it. But in the end, the right result happened, because now Duke is probably going to play Michigan State to get to the Final Four. And that's the game we really want to see. Right? We don't want to see Texas Tech, who undoubtedly would have beaten UCF in the next game, go to play Michigan State.
No. When it comes to the marquee time, we want to see the good games. We want to see Virginia versus Tennessee. We want to see the good games.
Right. Exactly. Now, let me since you're watching the tournament, and I want to kind of circle back to the Sixers and get into the break as we talk about the Sixers. What do you think of the announcing that has been going on in the NCAA tournament?
I don't enjoy it.
You don't enjoy it?
I have not really enjoyed the announcing.
Was it CBS's halftime team? Is that the one Candace Parker's on?
No. Well, it depends. It rotates. She's been on TNT and then True TV. They try to keep Barkley and Kenny on CBS, but it all rotates depending on the game early.
Okay. This guy who hosts that show, I couldn't figure out who he is. His name's Casey Stern, right?
Yeah.
And I realized, so where do I know this guy from? Years and years ago, at CN8, the precursor to one of our NBC Sports Philadelphia channels, had a show where Greg Murphy, believe it or not, was the host. And we had four regional networks. And I was a Philly rep, and there was a Boston rep, and there was a Washington rep, and there was somewhere else a rep. And I was on this show with this Casey Stern, and I'm looking at him going, who the hell is this guy? I crossed paths with this guy one time in his life. And all of a sudden, boom, he's the host of the halftime show.
Oh, good for him.
And then I tweet out, like, what's the point of having this Illinois-Chicago coach on? Like, what? Who knows who he is? Do you know who he is?
No.
Last year, he was the coach of the team that had the nun, right?
Yeah, they were the ones that upset Virginia.
All right, so he's all of a sudden, he's on the show, and I'm going, how many people actually know who he is? Like, how do they put these shows together?
They always try to get a coach that's not in. I know Capel, but Capel has been at Duke. We kind of know Capel. He was Oklahoma's former coach.
Yeah.
We kind of know him.
Yeah.
When they grab the obscure guy, I don't understand it. But they try to take coaches who we know,
right,
but aren't in the tournament.
All right, let me quickly go to this. I want to give you, I want you to give me a grade.
All right.
And here were the CBS NCAA commentators for the NCAA tournament. Nance Raftery, Grant Hill is the first team with Tracy Wolfson on the court.
No, they're good. That's an end.
Right?
Yeah, that's
second
good
team. Brian Anderson, Chris Webber, Lisa Byington.
Oh, that's a B minus or so. Webber's gotten better.
Answer me this. Why does Chris Webber bother me?
Yeah, why does he bother me?
I don't know, but he bothers me.
I think he
talks too damn much. I don't know what it is. He bothers me. I wonder if he bothers anybody else. Third team, Ian Eagle, Jim Spinarkle, and Allie LaForce.
Well, you really like that squad.
I don't like Ian Eagle.
See, I don't mind him.
Really?
But I still think you've gone in order. Each crew is getting a little bit worse as you go.
Now, Kevin Harlan, who yells too damn much, with Reggie Miller and Dan Bonner.
It's Reggie's.
Dana Jacobson.
See, Reggie's the problem with that.
You don't like Reggie?
I thought Reggie, he was one of my favorite players. I thought he would be great at this. He's not great at this.
Okay, Brad Nessler, Steve Lavin, Evan Washburn.
Doesn't do a lot for me.
And finally, Spiro Dedis with Steve Smith and Len Elmore.
I like Len Elmore.
You do?
I do like Len Elmore. I have a weakness for Len Elmore.
I don't know what
but
it is.
But the other two.
I don't like anybody. But I've got a problem. I'm sorry.
It shows you how lucky we are to have Zoom off locally. It also shows that when you have 32 games, because for those first two rounds, you have 32 games, there are not enough. That job's hard enough to where there's not enough people who are good at it.
You're right. There's not enough people, and I get that. So whatever. That's just my opinion. It's all subjective. There are people that probably like all these people. All right. Now, so quickly on the Sixers. They lose to Atlanta. What did this do for you? It did nothing for me. It absolutely had no impact on me at all. It was a game they lost because they took the other team lightly. They had been riding a high. It happens. Gold State got blown out the same night.
35.
Right. So these kind of things are they're inexplicable, but they happen, and they shouldn't pull you away from the high of what the Sixers have done in the last week and say, well, all of a sudden, they're not a playoff team, or they're not going to succeed in the playoffs. Here's how you get in, because I really want to hear your opinion on that. 610-632-0975. And I want to hear your opinion on the NCAA tournament. Whether you feel that you'd like to have these smaller teams upset these bigger teams. Also, the announcing part of it. And the Phillies have announced their starting lineup, which I don't agree with. Gabe and I were on the same page, and all of a sudden he flipped the script on me.
Well, it wasn't official, but they rolled it out today.
It was supposed to be, this is their opening day lineup.
Says this appears to be the lineup.
I don't understand the 7A slot.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I'll talk about it. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, ABC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is the Mike Misnelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, 2 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Ferguson, HVAC Lyon Conklin, Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. For equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, time to start our Twitter poll. And that's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers, if you're looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie?
Thank you, Mike. Over 300 votes on this one early. Do you like seeing the lower seeds advance in the NCAA tournament? 85% say yes, it's fun. 15% say no, it's fraudulent.
All right, then.
Mm-hmm.
Fraudulent. 15%?
Yes, 15%.
Okay. All right.
I like that.
Okay. first of all, I didn't ask you, Tyron, what you thought about the Izzo thing. Now, you and I come from an era, well, at least my era was longer ago when coaches used to be crazier than they are now. Yours, they were a little more subsided, but not really.
No.
So what did you think of the Izzo thing? And only old school guys, I think, can get away with this. Younger guys can't get away with it.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I don't. My only question with any coach that goes off like that now is, did it work? Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, when I was younger, I had coaches like that all the time. And when you have mm-hmm. a lot of coaches like that, what I learned to do was basically tune that out.
Mm-hmm.
I responded to the coaches who actually came to me like a human being. You did X mm-hmm. wrong. Do Y. Because I would respond to that because you mm-hmm. get used to getting yelled at. You end up tuning it out. So I didn't think, oh, he's a Neanderthal. Oh, this is the worst thing ever. I just wondered, does that work? Like, does the kid play better after that or not?
There's no question it works on a college level. And here's why it works. Because Tom Izzo holds that kid's future in his hands. And whatever Tom Izzo tells that kid, if that kid doesn't comply or he has an attitude, he's done. He's got aspirations maybe to play professional basketball somewhere. And if he doesn't adhere to what this coach is saying, him disciplining him and going overboard to discipline, he's got to suck that up or he's foolish. Now, he's got another chance. He can transfer, certainly, and find a kinder coach. But this is the thing about old-school college coaches. They have the hammer. So either he responds to that or he's done.
Now, I've noticed Coach K has done a lot of that in the past. He hasn't done that much with this crew. With Zion and them, he hasn't had to go to he doesn't go to the whip like that with those players. And I wonder if it's because he knows he kind of doesn't have the hammer with them.
Probably. Because they can very well choose not to play in the tournament and say, oh, we're
you know
the
what,
draft.
You know what, Coach? My knee hurts again. Exactly. Yell at me like that, man. My knee.
All right. Just so I put this out there so that people are listening. Here are the people that are still alive in the Missinelli Elitist Pool. Only 16 left. So, number one, Virginia. My God, were they a pleasure to watch yesterday. This is getting under Tyrone's skin. He can't stand it. That was a clinic that Virginia ran yesterday to win that game. Clinic. Surgical. They're a beautiful team to watch. Now, Tennessee's going to beat them because of athleticism, but they are beautiful to watch, Tyrone, as a basketball unit.
No.
Oh, my God.
No, they don't.
They defend the bejesus out of you.
They do that. They've always done that. I hate watching them play offense. I
love them.
I hate it.
Tyler, and you know me, I love athleticism too.
You do.
But I love the way they are clockwork. They never make a mistake.
Right
on the string. They never allow themselves to get double teamed. They got the ball moving at all time.
No, they're on a string.
This is tremendously well coached.
They are well coached.
All right, Tyler from Newtown has Virginia. Michigan's still in it as a two seed. Zeki from Shenandoah is still alive. Duke, number one seed. John from Norristown, you're still alive. G from Philly has LSU. That's going to be short-lived. Florida State, Andrew from Newtown. North Carolina, Dave from Audubon. The field is still alive because of...
What, Oregon?
Oregon.
Who played really well.
Coming out of nowhere. Thomas from Broomall has Oregon. Houston still in it. Robert, South Philly. Michigan State, Paul from Philly. Gonzaga. Duke from Delaware has Gonzaga. Texas Tech still in it with Billy from South Philly. Virginia Tech still in it shortly. John from Newcastle. Kentucky, Matt Downingtown, Auburn, looking good. Jill in Warrington, Purdue, the three seed. We didn't even mention that they dismantled Villanova. And Tyrone, you have a theory on Villanova. It's not going to sit very, very well with Villanova fans. Jeff from Coatesville has Purdue. And finally, John from Pensauken has Tennessee. You believe that it could be the end of the Villanova success story.
As we know it, yeah.
As we know it, as far as them contending for national championships?
Yeah, I think they'll still be the best team in the area, obviously, because they get the best players. But the one thing that concerns me is they had a five-star guard come in, and him and the coach clashed.
Yeah.
And he never was able to really get minutes.
You're talking about Quinterly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
they got two five-star guys coming in next year.
And that's my concern.
That they're one and done?
No. My question is, can he, does what he does work with the young guys coming in, and he, could he mesh them fast enough before they're gone? I think if it was up to him, like a lot of coaches, he would play his third and fourth year guys a lot. I don't think he has that luxury next year. They'll be pretty deep next year. If he doesn't make some adjustments, like the, somebody like Calipari, like Coach K, when you get those kids, you got to coach them differently. If he doesn't make the adjustments, those kids will come, they won't develop, they'll leave, and he won't, and then he has to get another set and another set and another set. And I think if
interesting,
if this could be it.
All right, we shall see. Let's go to Clarence in Roxborough to start things off. Clarence, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Clarence.
Yes. I just called to agree with you about Chris Webber.
You don't
I
like C. Webb?
In his color commentating.
He talks too damn much.
Talks too much.
Yes.
He does the same thing on my video game 2K, NBA 2K.
He's like Charles, what's his name? The guy that we have on the air every now and then here. Charles does football. Charles Davis. And Chris Webber's the Charles Davis of NCAA basketball.
Yeah, well, like I said, he talks too much.
All right, man. Let's go to Hank in South Philly. Hank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hank.
What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Hank?
This is Le Miserable.
Well, what are you miserable about today?
Not nothing. I agree with you on Chris Webber. I've been saying this since I've been hearing him, you know, do the broadcast. I hate when he do the NBA broadcast. I turn the radio, the TV there.
Yeah, I don't want this to turn into the Chris Webber show, but I you know, I'm just trying to feel out if people feel the same way, because I know, like, my subjective analysis of people are a lot different than others.
Yeah, but he acts like he's the only one that knows the intricate things in the sport. Nobody else knows nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
And that really bothers me. And Candace Parker, sometimes, I don't even think she really, really know what she's doing. I think she just ad-libbing.
Oh, she looked good, though. Girl, you know? Girl looked good.
And you know what? And I'm mad at you, because last week, you gave everybody a pick but me.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
But that's all right.
I'm sorry. We must have run into time constraints, Hank.
Yeah,
because sometimes you get a little wordy.
But I like listening to you, Mike. I mean, I don't agree with everything you say, but a lot of stuff you say is the truth.
Yeah.
You know? And I just got this thing about Chris Webber, Charles Barkley, and it's another guy, Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan screams too much.
Oh, they get on my nerves.
Screams too much, man. I can't take the screamers. I used to like Kevin Harlan. Now I don't.
Yeah, you know, so that's all I really called in for in the same.
All right, people react to these play-by-play announcers because they're hearing them for a really long period of time, and sometimes they get on their nerves. Like, I think Brad Nessler's really good, but Kevin Harlan yells too much.
Yeah, I don't mind Harlan.
I still don't know who Dan Bonner is. I mean, he's been doing this for 100 years. I still don't know who he is.
I don't. What was that name?
Dan Bonner.
Yeah, I don't.
He's been doing college games for 100 years.
Has he?
Yes.
I'm not joking. I really don't know who he is.
Dan Bonner. He's like, you're talking about a guy who was like started in the 80s.
He did games over the weekend?
Yeah, he's part of the, he's part of the team with Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller.
Oh.
And Dan Bonner.
Okay.
Never heard of Dan Bonner?
No. I apologize.
He's got some kind of connection with Kentucky. But he's been doing it for 100 years, and I still don't know who he is.
Yeah, this time of year is weird for that.
Let me see. Dan Bonner. He's a white dude. I just looked up his... I just Googled him, and there's a black dude there. He's white. Dan Bonner's white. All right, he's from, he played basketball at the University of Virginia.
Oh.
Right, I'm sorry. He's at the University of Virginia. Yeah, he's been calling games since 1983.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for him lasting.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
That's impressive.
All right. Can we put another Twitter poll up? This is just for dudes.
Sure.
Dude Twitter poll.
Okay. What would you like it to say?
Kristen Ludlow, Candace Parker, or Allie LaForce?
Fine.
This is just for dudes.
All right. We'll put up one.
See what the percentage is.
Yeah, we'll end up putting another one to balance it. I'll come up with the name.
Come up with the dude.
With a balancer.
Put up Dan Bonner.
No one knows what he looks like. No, we'll get the names. They'll go, who?
David Penridge. Dave, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Dave?
Not much. I just think the Sixers go into too many of these games thinking they only have to throw their sneakers on the floor and win, and that's why they come up.
One game. They went through, what were they, 7-1 for crying out loud with that starting lineup.
I understand that.
I don't think you do understand.
That's what they got, the five starters.
Yeah, I get it. Teams lose. Golden State got trumped that same night. How do you explain that?
Well, that's tough to explain, but do you think they'll show up for the Orlando game tonight?
Yes, I think they'll show up.
I hope they do.
Listen, they were riding the high. You know how human emotions are. You're riding the high. People are telling you how wonderful you are. You come up with a great victory against Boston. You got to go to Atlanta. You go, they stink.
That's true.
You know, yeah. You just like, you don't even know you're doing it. But the human side of you goes, we'll go in and win that game.
And now I'd like to get to a good point.
All right, go ahead.
The Penridge Championship game with Kennedy Catholic.
Oh, yeah, Penridge.
I
put a 13.5-point line. Penridge lost by a deuce.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it, no.
Well, it went double overtime. And Penridge plays with local kids. They don't import them from Italy and who knows where else. 6'10 and 6'8 in high school. And Penridge went toe-to-toe with them.
My kudos to Penridge, because when I think of basketball factories,
you didn't even give him any credit.
I gave him credit. I said it's amazing what Penridge is doing. Plays basketball out there?
Point dog, and you didn't even know what they played like.
They're playing basketball on a pole out there in Penridge. Who knows how good they are?
Kudos to the Penridge basketball team.
All right, good for them. I'm proud of them.
I am too.
That's tremendous.
And I think you ought to give the local kids some credit, too,
I can't. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to hold a parade for them? I gave him credit all last week. Tyrone, did you hear me talking about it? Yeah. I think it's amazing that Penridge beat those teams to get to the state championship game.
Yeah, and to lose by two, that they should be very proud.
They got seven kids named Yoder on that team.
Yeah, like who? Seriously.
I don't know who they are.
Who's on that roster? Do they have kids that are getting heavily recruited at that school?
No,
seriously.
I don't think so. They're a collective unit that, happens. It's like Hoosiers.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like Hoosiers, but this I like.
But, it's the same principle.
Yeah.
Little town rallies around them. All of a sudden, they get some kids that are good. They're coached well. They upset some teams that are more talented and play a certain style. They're like the Virginia of high school.
Well, see, stop doing things that take away from them. I'm very proud of those kids. Don't put them with Virginia.
I'm annoyed at the fact that you dislike Virginia.
Why?
I'm totally annoyed by it.
But why,
though? Because they play the game a different way that is appreciable to that style, and you're missing the point.
No, I get the point, and he's been very successful at it. He doesn't need me. He has the wins. My thing is, when I watch basketball, mm-hmm. the way North Carolina plays the game year in and year out, I prefer to watch that kind of basketball. That's what I like. They try to score. They don't try to nullify anybody. I like that, watching that. I get that Virginia's good. Duke does it when he has the horses. This year's Duke team plays a pleasing style. To me, my eyes blanch at the Virginia offensive style because it's just...
Why, because they move the ball and swing it to an open man always? Blanch?
No, I blanch because it's boring. Let's go. I like Carolina tries to get the ball up about within 12
seconds. What is Villanova? Is Villanova boring to you?
I don't.
The way they play?
Now, when they had DiVincenzo in them, DiVincenzo would come off the bench and fire from three. They fire.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime team. I'm talking about the way they play normally.
Normally, I despise it. I cannot stand how they normally play. I loved last year's team. I loved every second of that season. I loved the way they played. I loved how they fired the three ball. I hated watching Nova this year. Everything was so Booth, Pascal, Lil Gillespie, Booth. Pascal, little Gillespie, and then rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse. Oh, I hated it.
Steven in Virginia Beach. You're a 97.5 Fanatic. Steven.
Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
What's going on, Steve? How you doing?
Oh, well, listen, man. I try my hardest not to go against you, man. I figure you're the pulse of Philly sports. Love you to death, but you're dead wrong about the Sixers on this one, dude. You are so wrong. I looked at the game against the Chicago Bulls. We lost that one. Barely got out against the Charlotte Hornets. Went along and we did beat two teams that we probably had to beat, or Brett Brown would have been even more in a hot seat than he is. And then we go along and we drop one to Atlanta. This is not just one game, bro.
Yeah.
This is
an issue. You know, how'd the Raptors make out last night?
What's that? I can respect that. But when's the last time the Raptors absolutely blew someone out? They do that on a regular basis.
Do what on a regular basis? They lost to Charlotte last night.
But you have to understand something. Mike,
understand what? They're going to lose games. They're not going to go 82-0.
Mike, I respect that. But we don't have a track record of laying teams out. When's the last time our 70? Look, I hope I'm wrong, bro. I'm 76.
No, you're doing is pressing your own damn panic button. Who cares that they lost to Atlanta on a Saturday night? Does it really matter that much? That they lost that game Saturday? Is it going to stop them from achieving? Oh, it does. It does. Now tell me why.
I think it does.
How?
Because the teams that we're supposed to beat, we don't beat. And I don't want that. We still have a young team here. We still have a young team. We have a coach that was still trying to integrate Jimmy Butler this season, dude. And he had him half the season.
So they don't get any credit at all for what they did against Milwaukee, against Boston, that game in between where they didn't play with Embiid. You discount those completely.
Mike, I don't discount those completely because that's the point of building a super team, is so that you have options. But when you have a coach that does not know how to adjust and use those options, that's my problem.
They won six in a row. They beat Atlanta, or Indiana. Were they supposed to win that game? Yes. Were they supposed to beat Cleveland the next night? Yes. Were they supposed to beat Sacramento? Yes. Were they supposed to beat Milwaukee? That was a tell game. Were they supposed to beat Charlotte? Were they supposed? But you're ignoring the six victories before the loss.
I don't think I am, Mike. And here's the last thing I'll tell you guys. You're wrong about the Villanova Wildcats, too. GQJ Wright will next year be the coach of our Philadelphia 76ers. He's not going to rebuild that team from scratch all over again. He wants to stay in the area. He absolutely loves it here. I see Jay Wright being the next coach of the 76ers.
It's not like Jay Wright's going to stay here. He's going to be traveling with an NBA team. They travel. Those teams travel, man. It's not like he's going to go home and have dinner on the table every night at 5.
What else does he have to prove in the NCAA?
No, I get it, man, but you're taking a big leap. All right?
Well,
here's what you're doing. You're rooting against Brett Brown to achieve in the playoffs, so what you wish will come true.
Well, not necessarily.
And that makes you a bad fan. That makes you a terrible fan, Steven. Forget about the fact they won six in a row. That doesn't apply at all. What applies is, well, God forbid, they lost a game to Atlanta. The Raptors lose to the Hornets. Golden State gets blown out. That nobody considers that. It's always the Sixers. Oh, they don't beat the teams they're supposed to beat. Beat Cleveland, Sacramento, and Charlotte in this six-game series, didn't they?
Right. And the Celtics lost on Saturday. They lost on Sunday, too. But they lost
Celtics
on Saturday.
That's correct.
A 30-5 run to end the game.
Right.
If that happened to the Sixers, they'd be calling
losses
for the coaches.
Losses in the regular season, especially late, happen. It's the playoffs that count. Don't even worry about these little piddly games that they lost to Atlanta. God bless Trae Young. He had an all-world game. He won the game for him. God bless him. Not going to matter in the overall scope of things when the Sixers get to the playoffs. 610-632-0975. Two lines are open. Let's hear from you. 975 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.246 Mike Bisignelli show. You know, I knew as soon as that game happened, people were going to freak. And they did accordingly.
They don't have enough to get to the... They can't close out games. Oh, the coach can't close out games.
It bothered me they lost the Atlanta Hawks, but not that much.
Yeah, like...
It, you know, it's like, okay, these kind of things happen.
It was a bad loss, but bad losses happen to everyone. We act like they only happened to the Sixers.
Exactly.
The Warriors lost to, like, the Suns and someone else in the same month. Two terrible, terrible teams that are losing on purpose.
Guys, you can't stop guys from being human. And after that huge high of that week, where they beat Milwaukee and they beat Boston, they're flying to Atlanta. What do you think they're thinking? All right, we just can put some time in here. We get another W. And you can't do that in the NBA because they're professional players. So that team is trying to beat your brains in because that's a, it's a big standard for them to win. So they're going to try to play their best, and you're not playing your best. And all of a sudden, you look in the fourth quarter, and you're in a game, and you lose it on a last-second shot.
Yeah.
It happens. All right, let's go to Harry and Cape May. Harry, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Harry.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Harry?
Well, I just wanted to comment. I mean, anybody that watched this game yesterday, Central Florida against Duke, I mean, you had to be rooting for Central Florida towards the end of the game. It was like, oh, my God, those kids deserve to win.
I was, and yet I wasn't. I was in a really bad place because I didn't want Duke to get eliminated from the tournament because the tournament is better when they're in it, when we can see those guys like Zion Williamson. But I was, you know, down the stretch, I'm going, well, you know, these other kids are fighting so hard. If they pull this upset off, it'd be one of the great moments of their lives.
And that's what I thought. The other thing, I had a question for you and Tyrone. You're obviously more informed than I am. Out of all these great kids, Charles Barkley said this kid from Purdue is the best kid in the country. And every game, you see some kid on a team step up, and it's like, oh, my God. And it's rumored the Sixers, depending on how the cookies crumble, they could have a lottery pick. What do they need, and who do you and Tyrone think they could take to fill that need out of all these great kids and all these great college kids?
I have no idea, bro. I have no idea where they're going to fall. I mean, for me to like sit here and say that they need this guy, they need Zion Williamson. How's that? Yeah, really. Yeah, that's what they need. Now they're gonna probably pick in the 20s. So they, you know, Carson Edwards. I tipped you up in the middle of the season, Tyrone. I came in raving about that kid at one point.
You love that.
I love that kid because he can make shots like crazy. But he's 6'1", and so in the NBA, it's a little different. Does he dominate? He'd have to be AI to dominate on an NBA level when you're 6'1".
Well, what about Curry? I mean, he's banging down threes. This kid from Purdue, he just like...
Curry's 6'3". Carson Edwards is 6'1". They're two different elements.
But he shoots from the mid-court line.
I understand. He also has had some horrendous games, this kid. He is... You know, you saw him at his best. He's had games where he shot like 20%.
Okay, that's why I'm asking you guys.
No, he's got great talent. I saw him I came in raving about him one day after watching Purdue. I said, this kid scores at will. But at 6'1 in the NBA, it's a little different. Like, Kemba Walker pulled it off. Like, can this kid be Kemba Walker? Maybe he can.
Yeah, but...
It's possible he can become Kemba Walker.
Yes, but Kemba hasn't won anything because Kemba really struggles on the other end. He doesn't play enough defense to really win for you. On the other end, too. I don't know who this kid would really guard on the other on the next level, too. That's
a consideration.
Yeah, like, I still think even as good as Trae Young's been, they're still going to have to find the Klay Thompson equivalent to pair with him so he can play some defense. That helped Curry having Klay be a great defender next to him.
Listen, I love the way Carson Edwards fires.
Yeah.
And for the life of me, they couldn't. Villanova just had no defensive plan to be near him. And he's shooting from all over the place.
I mean, the worst part was in the second half, Nova goes on a 10-0 run. I'm watching the Sixers and them side by side, two TVs. They go on a 10-0 run to get it down to 24. I'm like, this is, whew, this kid is 40 points.
Yeah. He came out of nowhere, that kid. You know, he wasn't that highly recruited, but turned himself into just a great player. John in Bryn Mawr, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, John?
Great to talk with you. Just a couple things. You know, first of all, I'm not getting too overly crazy over the Sixers loss. Again, it's just down when it comes down to these late-minute situations. I really question the philosophy of Brett Brown. Why is Joel Embiid in the corner on the three-point line when it's coming down to Jimmy Butler? Why wouldn't they run a pick-and-roll high up top with him, Butler and Embiid? Butler and Harris, like, that's the one thing.
Well, they're obviously running ISOs for Jimmy Butler. They've done it a million times to close out games.
No, I mean, I totally agree with that, but why not give yourself another option by doing a pick and roll? You know, he's all about the dribble handoff, which we could just throw that right in the ocean, by the way. Can't stand that either. But even...
And listen, most of the time with Jimmy Butler is ISO'd, he's going to get somewhere, and you got a really good chance to get a good shot. So, yeah. I mean, we can pick apart little decisions here and there.
Well,
not every loss has to come down to the coach screwing up. It really doesn't.
No, I'm not saying that. They didn't play a good game. It happened. The ebb and flows of the season. I'm totally on board with that. I do have a hypothetical for you, Mike.
Yes.
Call me crazy, whatever. I want you to listen to this. If, you know, would you trade Ben Simmons for the number 2 overall pick and take John Morant? Because bottom line, I would do that in a heartbeat, and I want to get your thoughts.
No.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hell no. That's my answer. You should have stayed online. Hell no. Who do we know? Listen, John Morant looks like he's a good player. The NBA is a different ballgame. He's a little slight. No, he can do a lot of things, but he's a little slight. Would I take him over Ben Simmons right now? No. Come on.
He's not generational.
No.
He's going to be a good player. He's going to be second pick in the draft. That's really good. But he's not.
He might not even be a second player.
No, he's going to be.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Zined over Barrett?
Yep.
Well, we'll see. Coach Thurm? Coach Thurm in college hockey. What's up, Coach Thurm?
Nothing much, Mike. Can you hear me there, Mike?
I got you, buddy.
Yeah. I hear you banging on Penn Ridge basketball over there.
I'm not banging on them. I think what they did was tremendous. Where am I banging on them?
No, Mike, don't play me like that, man. Don't play me like that.
It's unlikely that a team like Penn Ridge would go to a state championship, is it not?
Hey, let me put it this way, y'all. Mike, occasionally I run basketball tournaments during the summertime.
Uh-huh.
And Penn Ridge has a feeder program over there. Believe it or not, this is the name of the feeder program. It's called Mojo's.
Okay.
And they've been doing this for the last 10 years. Now, again, they don't get the best kids, but what they do is they get their kids to play together. That's one thing.
Okay.
So it did not surprise me at all when they made it to the finals of the state championship this year in the, I think, the 6A category. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, speaking of Tom Izzo, I think this is a really hot thing. I'm a Vietnam vet. And, like, you know, it's not where in the era where I heard now with the kids that are going through the military, they give them timeouts and all that kind of stuff. And I'm used to tough love. However, the kids nowadays are very different. We're more or less in nowadays, we're in the spree well thing. Now, say, for instance, if this kid, when Tom Izzo got in his face, right, he got in his face the other day, and say if he'd have grabbed Tom Izzo. Now, whose fault is it? It's the kid's fault, right? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so now, here's what they're teaching us, you know, as far as coaches, new era coaches, supposedly. And I'm an old school coach, and when I first started coaching in the late 80s, I was in your damn face. I was going to put a foot in you if you do. Hey, you can't get it wrong with me. Now, I got to give 4 or 5 hugs.
before I...
Well, you do because you're coaching at a lower level and you're influencing younger kids. A guy like Tom Izzo is an old school college coach. He can do what he wants, except he can't throw a chair or grab a kid late night. Really, there's a difference between a guy who's venerable, who's got a reputation. Now, you can't put your hands on a kid. But what Tom Izzo did was get in his face and yell at him. I don't think that's out of line. I really don't. Younger coaches, more spotlights on them. But who are you to do that to a kid? A guy like Izzo has had success in coaching kids, turning kids into pros and turning kids into good citizens. He earns the right to have a little leeway when it comes to that. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. Two open lines. Grab them. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5. The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.